Daytime Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, the Emmy nominations have been announced for the 2018 Daytime Emmy Awards. We're going to give our quick reactions and discuss a whole lot of soap news and storylines. Stay tuned. Beau, welcome.
Hello.
So you were in Atlanta this last weekend visiting Jamie and other friends and family. So did you have a fun time?
Yes, I'm grown.
Yes, you're grown. Okay, fine. Fair enough. I'm glad you were able to fly back in and be here in time for the podcast. I wasn't sure if you were going to make it, so I'm glad you did. Mike Jubenville?
Hello.
Welcome back. I just saw you 2 weeks ago in Atlanta myself.
I know. It seems like a long... It was just last week, wasn't it? Last weekend?
Well, by time this airs.
Oh, okay. So I was like, boy, time is flying fast.
It was technically a week ago as of yesterday, so we're in the second week.
Oh my God, you're creeping me out. Stop it.
Mike, I want to touch base with you because it was the first time that you and Jamie had met. You and I met last August after having podcast for 12 some years. What was it like meeting Jamie for the first time?
It was like meeting you.
It
all clicked. There was nothing surprising about Jamie. When I met him, he was exactly how I thought he would be, but he seemed a little shyer face to face. So, but once you kind of got him going, he was back up to speed. But overall, it was a great experience to have you two with me, so I could see you both at the same time and have that feel that dynamic that has just always been there. It was kind of cool.
Well, joining you and us in Atlanta was your partner, Joshua Baldwin, who is also joining us on this podcast. Joshua, welcome.
Hello.
You started out as a listener. You ended up with one of the podcast co-hosts. You're now on the podcast. If I didn't know better, I would say you're Teresa Fitzgerald or Lopez Fitzgerald.
Okay, don't
do
that.
It sounds a little creepy when you describe it like that.
Okay.
Don't do him like that. He ain't hoeing around.
Now listen, Joshua knows that I
sound like he's sleeping his way.
Joshua knows that I adore him and I consider him my big brother. So don't worry about that. Joshua, what was it like meeting Jamie for the first time?
I have to echo Michael. It was very much I had known you guys forever because I've listened forever, and no different than I thought. The best part of it was watching you and Jamie interact, Luke, because it was very much what I thought. Jamie getting a little frustrated sometimes and you going back and forth. It was just funny. It was very, very funny.
It was fun to watch that when you were with Michael. So, okay, now your name is Michael, Mike. I'm going to call you Michael.
See,
yeah, I have to admit, I'm the only one who calls him that.
Joshua calls calls Mike Michael, but I can't do that because after this many years of podcasting, calling Mike, I just can't switch to Michael. So I've had to apologize to Josh and Mike for calling Mike because Josh calls him Michael.
Okay. Oh, no, that's just me. I'm just weird, so.
Okay, well,
that's my man. I could call him Michael. You call him Mike. That's what you're trying to tell me.
Well, let's discuss the 2018 Daytime Emmy nominations. They were announced this last week. Of course, all four soaps were nominated for Outstanding Drama. In the category for Outstanding Digital Daytime Drama Series, The Bay, Eastsiders, Ladies of the Lake, Tainted Dreams, Venice the Series, and Zach and Maya were all nominated. Which then brings us to the big acting categories, which are always the fun ones to discuss when it comes time for the Predictions podcast, which we'll be recording later this month. Or early next month. Not later this month, because this month is almost over, but early next month. Outstanding lead actress in a drama series: Eileen Davidson for The Young and the Restless, Nancy Legrand, General Hospital, Marcy Miller, Days of Our Lives, Maura West, General Hospital, and Laura Wright, General Hospital. Outstanding Lead Actor in a Drama Series, Peter Bergman from The Young and the Restless, Michael Easton, General Hospital, John McCook, The Bold and the Beautiful, Billy Miller, General Hospital, and James Reynolds, Days of Our Lives. Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Drama Series, Marla Adams, The Young and the Restless, Cameron Grimes, The Young and the Restless, Susan Seaforth Hayes, Days of Our Lives, Elizabeth Hendrickson, The Young and the Restless, Jacqueline McInnes Wood, The Bold and the Beautiful, Michelle Morgan, The Young and the Restless. Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Drama Series, Wally Kurth, not for Days of Our Lives, but General Hospital, Chandler Massey, Days of Our Lives, Anthony Montgomery for General Hospital, Greg Rickhart for The Young and the Restless, and Greg Vaughn for Days of Our Lives. Outstanding Younger Actress in a Drama Series, Rainn Edwards for The Bold and the Beautiful, Haley Aaron for General Hospital, Kate Fairbanks for The Young and the Restless, Olivia Rose Keegan, Days of Our Lives, Chloe Lanier for General Hospital. Jillian, I will be going to you first as soon as I get through this next category, because apparently you have thoughts. Outstanding Younger Actor in a Drama Series, Lucas Adams, Days of Our Lives, Rome Flynn, The Bold and the Beautiful, Tristan Lake LeBeau for The Young and the Restless, Casey Moss, Days of Our Lives, and Hudson West for General Hospital. Jillian, what are your overall thoughts on these categories? Are there any that really stood out as good things or stood out as question marks or head scratchers for you?
I mean, we already know how these Emmys are. When you think you have it figured out, you're just like, what the hell? But we already know Olivia Rose Keegan, she gonna be going up there like, this is my award, bitches. Like,
yep, that's how it works.
Yes, she gonna take that home. Between her and Chloe Lanier, watch. They gonna take it home, watch.
Okay, any other thoughts?
Well, you know, we gonna wait for the predictions, but it's a solid list. Some people did surprise me not being on there.
Heather Tom.
And some people surprised me being on there. I'm not getting into that. Don't be trying to answer for me neither. But some of them are a solid list and some of them are a list.
Joshua, or should I just ask, do you prefer Josh or Joshua for the podcast purpose?
Okay, bud.
You can call me either one.
Okay, Josh. What are your thoughts on this year's nominees?
The lead actress category is kind of amazing. I was telling Michael earlier that it's an embarrassment of riches. There's just so much good stuff in there. I was glad to see James Reynolds lead actor. Don't understand Jacqueline McGinnis Woods in supporting. She's lead. But I know how they do. I'm really glad to see Greg Vaughn. I think it's his first nomination.
Need to check that.
Younger actress is kind of a mess. I didn't really understand a couple of them. Casey Moss seems to me like kind of looks like it might be his to lose in younger actor.
Okay.
But there's a lot of them are really good, I thought. Really good, solid list for the most part.
Mike, I know how much you love our predictions podcast. What were your thoughts on the, or just your quick take on this year's nominations?
I think the actress category, there's some people there that I definitely would have selected. I always think that Maura West, I mean, she had some great stuff last year. As far as the men go, my quick impression is there's a couple on there that I would are head scratchers. I really am glad to see James Reynolds there.
Yeah.
I can't see Jacqueline McInnes Wood or Michelle Morgan being in a supporting when they really were lead, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I just see Anthony Montgomery. Sorry. I'm not nitpicking on people personally. This isn't personal. I just can't think of anything that he did that had me thinking like a Chandler Massey, that he had this great thing. Younger actress is that's a crapshoot. And when I saw Rainn Edwards, I had to think for a second, who's that? I don't remember who that is. And of course the men, I agree. I think Casey Moss is a contender in that group. And the guest performer, I think Ryan Ashton, he was on. I don't see him as a guest performer per se, but so,
and I didn't read those, so I can go. I didn't read those, so I can go ahead and cover those. Oh, outstanding guest performer in a drama series: Ryan Ashton, The Young and the Restless; Rob Derringer, The Young and the Restless; John Enos, who I loved on The Young and the Restless, got nominated for playing an Elvis impersonator on Days of Our Lives; Morgan Fairchild for Days of Our Lives; and Vernie Watson for General Hospital.
I say overall, my decision really can't be made until I see what they submitted, because a lot of times what they submit does kind of sway how you.
And the Daytime Emmys have been pretty good about putting those out in recent years on YouTube, so I do look forward to watching those as well. This week in soaps was quite a blockbuster week in terms of some really standout storylines. Let's go first to The Young and the Restless.
Woo!
Everybody who's listened to this podcast knows that I have not been a big fan of the character of Victoria for a very long time, but Amelia Hindley and Thad Luckinbill this last week brought it. There were fantastic performances. You can say what you will about the characterization for JT, and we can get into that, but in terms of just pure raw performances, their scenes together this week were fantastic. Mike, what did you think?
Well, unfortunately, things get spoiled before you watch it. I knew that scene was coming up, but yet watching it, it was still very tense and very raw. And I know that we pick a performer of the week, and Amelia Hindley got my vote this week. I'm just going to say that out loud. She embodied the insecure person, the person who has always been successful and has had a year of failure, and really wants us to succeed with JT. And I was amazed. And when he went to throw that punch, I thought, oh my God, he's going to hit her. And then he actually hit the wall next to her. So, and everything that came after it, her breakdown in the bathroom, and then her hoping against hope that JT's proposal was genuine, which, you know, it's not, that's all part of the manipulation. But overall, I would, you know, I know we'll get into the JT thing. I'm just going to say right off, I don't think it's completely out of his character to have sunk to this point. But I look forward to seeing this played out. And as I said in my opinion piece, if you're going to do this, you have to do it right, and you have to go all in and do it. And I'm really curious to see where it goes. It's risky, and that's what daytime needs.
And for those who might not have checked it out, last week, I believe it was, you wrote an article on what soaps need to do in terms of focusing on their socially relevant storylines and actually not shying away from the easy way out on them. Jillian, what did you think of the JT and Victoria scenes? What did you think of Victor and JT? A lot of drama.
Okay, well, since this is, y'all, you know, Luke like to do a two-parter. The JT and Victoria drama was some good TV. Now, we already heard Mike sounds like Mike is like, it's not out of his wheelhouse. I disagree, because for domestic abuse, there always are signs of it, even if it's a yelling, a shoving. And from when that kid would be in high school, somewhat, or into young or adulthood, and JT's never shown that. I still maintain JT would never do something like this. However, you don't know what happens to make people transition to this, but I still maintain he would never do this, because we never saw the signs. The storyline was great. I tried to tell you men folk that he was displaying abuse signs earlier, when you guys were like, oh, he told her, right, like she was being da 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 da. No, JT was setting the stage up to me, that's when YNR started setting the stage up for him to do abuse. He started with emotional and verbal abuse with her doubting herself, with him putting her down, and then him trying to isolate her from her loved ones when, he kept saying that Victor doesn't care about you. I'm the only one that cares about you. He was starting laying the groundwork. It was great storytelling, and I'm going to tell you, like a T.I. is, Thad Luckinbill and J.T. Hellstrom, they have done one thing that we've never seen anybody else do on that show, and that was whoop the shit out of Victor Newman and Eric Braeden having to take it. I saw that fight, and, you know, we saw Eric throwing down, and I'm just like, look, no shade but shade, but I'm like, Thad has how many decades? I'm like, Eric has how many decades on Thad, and how many decades does Victor have on this child? I'm like, okay. And, like, you know, he all throwing them blows. I'm like, okay, you know, some people still may be in shape, but that face that Thad had was like, you are not going to get this last one on me, Pops. And when Victor did that jackknife backwards, I was like, and you know, there was no, you got that, and Eric passed out or nothing. I'm like, oh, shit, look at this. I was really surprised. I'm really surprised. I don't know how Wyatt managed to have that pull off, but well played. And JT, it was just so much of a throwback of Jack and Victor when they fought, and Victor passed out, and Jack just walked over his body like nothing happened. I thought that was amazing. Well, I'm sorry. Spoiler alert. JT gonna walk by like ain't shit happened, child. Like, I have to give it to Warner. It was played out really well. I still sit on the fence. I'm not on the fence. I'm still sitting on the side of JT would not do this to Victoria. He would whoop the shit out of Victor, but beating up on Victoria? No, that's not JT that I know.
Josh, what are your thoughts on this controversial storyline?
I had thought this was old school soap opera for quite a while, because I agree with you, Jillian, that they've been setting this up for months. It didn't come out all of a sudden. Slowly, JT manipulating Victoria as all these other things are happening with Ashley and Abby, and JT slowly undermining Victoria's every move. And so that when the big fight happened, it wasn't a surprise. It was very well set up and very well written and very well acted, I thought. I'm kind of in between you, Michael, and Jillian, in terms of JT, because I think it's not in his character's wheelhouse, but when Billy and Victoria had the affair, and then he was sort of vindictive by taking Reed across the country and humiliating Victoria by saying, or by getting full custody, I wondered if that something snapped. I also wondered why Reed showed up out of nowhere. I mean, they said he didn't want to go to Poland, but I wondered if they were going to give more explanation. Yeah, I mean, maybe when Matt comes back.
I also think Victor never paid for Colleen, and JT's been talking about Colleen a lot, and Victor has never paid for anything, including killing Colleen or even acknowledging that he has her heart. So that's a contention with him too. So
I don't think he whooped Victoria's ass because of Colleen.
There's anger.
No. Well, yeah, there's anger, but I don't think he took that out on Victoria. I feel as though I think when he was fighting Victor, he was like, you know, that was bottled up because of that with Colleen also. I think with the snap, that's interesting that you mentioning him snapping and probably taking Reed across country because of that. I never thought of it that way. I don't think that's the case, because remember, Victor also played a part in that girl losing custody. He didn't purposely Victor didn't set out for her to lose custody. Victor tried to manipulate it so she could get custody. And then Tucker, that's when we got introduced to Tucker. And that was, I want to say that was Stephen Nichols's. Yeah, that was Stephen Nichols's Tucker. Stephen Nichols as Tucker realized what Victor was doing. And he ended up evening the playing field a bit for Victoria and JT. And anteed it up a little bit for him so that he could get custody. So I feel as though that was Victor's bad. No one's ever spoken out and said, you caused Victoria to lose custody of Reed. They always make it seem like, oh, she was busy and she put Victor first. No, Victor caused that girl to lose custody of that kid. But yeah, I do feel as though the Colleen aspect, I think when JT was beating Victor's ass, I think all of that came into play with him whooping his ass.
But I think an abuser doesn't – they go for the easiest target, and the easiest target for him is Victoria.
Yeah, well, of course. Yeah, I mean, when JT came back and he started using Victoria's insecurities against her, when he started saying, oh, you're just thinking about a daddy's girl, you still haven't changed, all you care about is Victor's approval, I thought to myself, I felt then, I'm like, you set the stage up to manipulate this girl to doing your bidding, but I couldn't figure out what it was. So the moment he came back and started using her insecurities against her, that was the classic manipulation and the abuser side coming out by just making her not fall for him, but making her want to change his mind about what he thinks of her and how she can please him. He was setting that stage for that girl from then.
Josh, what do you think of Dina's revelation this last week about her children?
Oh, God. Sorry. Go ahead, Josh.
One last thing. The best part of Victor and JT's fight was that half second that JT waited before he pushed Victor down the stairs to make it very clear, I'm purposely pushing you down the stairs. It wasn't like he tripped over something. And it was a moment. And you were like, ooh, that's good.
Meditated.
He looked at Victor like, I want you to know that I want you to know it wasn't as if an accidental shove. We were fighting and it was a heat of the moment thing. I want you to know I shoved your Methuselah ass down these stairs.
And JT had gloves on. So if somebody is looking for prints, JT's prints won't be there around that stairwell.
Mm-hmm. What are you thinking of the Abbott drama?
The Dina stuff is, I will say, the good stuff. I like the videos, the Abby and the Ashley and the making her up and having her sit in front of the camera. They are setting up flashback memories that you can go back to later on. I like all that. I'm not sure what I think about all of the Jack not being John's son thing.
Okay.
We don't even know because she's got Alzheimer's, so we don't know if she knows what she's saying or not.
Tell it like it is, Josh. I mean, listen, it's some good drama because Jack used that damn clause against Ashley to screw Ashley over. And what did I say months ago? Jack is his own worst enemy when it comes to that company. He will have that company. That company will be doing well. And then Jack does a Jack. Jack jacks it up, so to speak. He will do something else. Ashley will tell him, don't do that, no, no. And then they get screwed out of the company. They get fucked by the company. Jack, what did Jack do? He put that damn clause in there and screwed Ashley over. Ashley was like, everybody said, Jack, you can fix this. And Jack was being an asshole. Now look at him. He gonna be out of the company. And I'm like, Dina, you just dropping babies on John like nothing. I'm like, what the hell is... Dina is the best. I'm like, Nikki should tell Dina, bitch, I know who my kid's father is. You big old hoe bag. Like, Nick, she had nerve. Well, you know, that's all a retcon because Dina never had beef with Nikki. This new regime had her mad at Nikki for some bullshit, but I digress. But Dina just busting it wide open on John, and John's just like, John is just cuckolded like a punk, like a patsy.
Yeah, they talked about Neil Fenmore, so I had this thing in my head where Dina's going to say Lauren is her daughter. It's a joke, okay?
Don't do that. Don't put that out there, because you never know. Don't put that out there, because I'm like, here we go again. Like, to me, and also, it feels as though, like, you know, that's one less Abbott. Do you know what I mean?
I don't like the idea of there being fewer Abbotts.
Right.
Mike, what did you think?
That's what that is. One less Abbott.
I like the video thing. I'm not really big on the revelation. I just have to say that Melissa Ordway looks really good. She's back on screen. She looks amazing. I'm not really liking Jack at all. I think Jack is just been a complete dick. He won't even accept his own responsibility in anything that he's done in the last month with Ashley or anybody else. And he's just kind of annoying. But that said, I love it when him and Sharon are together. I always liked those two as a pairing. So it was really kind of fun to see hanging out.
No. We're not going to dive into that. We're going to go on to the Bold and the Beautiful.
All I said was that I liked seeing them together again. That's it.
Well, you know what I find funny? That she said Jack is acting like a dick. Wait until next week. That's all I'm going to tell you. Wait until next week. But, before we transition, it just feels like, we barely get, it's only a handful of Abbotts on there, and it's like one less Abbott. And Jack has been synonymous of being an Abbott. So for them to pull this shit, I'm just wondering, are they going to make him, when you said Neil Fenmore, I'm like, no, I don't think Neil Fenmore need another child, because that means Jill and him a brother and sister. And I'm like,
ew. No, let's not go there. Let's go to the Bold and the Beautiful, where Ridge was arrested for Bill's shooting and taken into interrogation. Are any of you invested in this storyline? Jillian, you go first.
Not really, because I said before, I understand they had to rush Don Diamont off somehow because he's dancing with the stars.
And eliminated.
Let me finish. But I said, had to usher him off for Dancing with the Stars, Italy. Now he's been eliminated. But I'm saying for the storyline purposes, I get it. But to me, I feel as though this was all rushed. And I mean, who wouldn't have picked? I mean, we all knew Bill was going to pick Ridge as the shooter. I mean, if he's doing it spitefully, or is he remembering that Ridge was the last person that was in there? Because technically he was. He was the last person that Bill remembers. Well, Bill was speaking to when he got gunned down. Now, they already filmed it, but it would be so great if B&B did a situation where he pinned it on Ridge to screw Ridge over royally, for him to tell Ridge to his face, I did this so I can get back at you for taking my woman from me, Brooke, and I did this. And he's also doing it to, blackmail Steffi into being his wife. That would be kind of hood and soapy, but I doubt they'll do that. So, I mean,
Josh, what are you thinking of the Bold and the Beautiful these days?
Oi. I guess my issue is that they made every single character on canvas a suspect with that over the top I hate Bill stuff.
Yeah.
Caroline even got a shot at him.
Oh my god, that was so weird. No, go ahead, Josh. Yes, we'll circle back to that.
I was just gonna say that every single character on canvas, and you have Pam, who we know she's on medication, but she suddenly stopped taking it, and suddenly it just seemed very fast. And then the Jarrett guy from The Office, who we haven't seen in 6 months, is suddenly fired for little reason. And I don't know. I'm not invested because it happened all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, and there's too many people, and I'm not convinced that they're not just going to put it off on some random side character. I want it to be meaningful. I want them to take a risk and have it be somebody important, but I don't believe that that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. The Caroline, when Luke, you mentioned Caroline, I'm like, now, do they really think we did not watch this show? That pissed me off, because I'm like, Caroline, you benefited from Bill's lie. It wasn't as if Bill blackmailed you into going with through this. You benefited from it. When she said, you ruined my life with my family, I'm like, all you had to do is keep your trap shut. If your life is ruined, that's because you didn't follow through with the lie. You could have womaned up before that lie manifested and tell him, that's not true, Thomas, that, I'm not dying. Or you could have just kept quiet and be like, you know, when Thomas be like, how's your illness? Yeah, girl, I'm having a good day. Today is one of my days. Or when you and Thomas are mad, you know, oh, my makeup illness that I don't really want to discuss is acting up, so you better go take out that trash or something. Like, that was just crazy for her to be all mad at Bill. And everybody hating Bill all at once was ridiculous because I'm sorry, but Rick don't give a damn that Steffi fucked Bill. Bill, he don't care about Steffi. But he was all, that guy has to pay. I'm like, you don't give a shit that she screwed Bill. You do not care. You don't care. But, you know, Eric all mad at him. I can't believe that guy. It was just random. Pam mad at him. I'm like, Pam, you don't give a shit about Bill either. Bill does not care about you. Bill suddenly firing Jared for revealing something months ago. Why are you waiting until now to do it? It would have been Hood if it was Jared's retirement and Bill did it and they took a page from what's going on in real life. But Jeff Sessions did that to McCabe. That would have been Hood. But you just doing this for something he did months ago. Why did you wait now to do that? It was hollow. The whole setup was just lit.
Mike?
Well, my overarching thing is I realized that they had to do this for Don Diamont, and that's fine. I agree with everything that they're saying. But the issue for me now is that Bill is in the hospital. There's nothing else going on. This is the only story that has been on every day. Yeah. These characters are involved in other things. You know, they have work. You know, they have their other relationships to tend to. Hope is just going down that rabbit hole of Liam, 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 Liam. And it's just, it's fine to have a Who Shot Bill storyline, but there's other things that are being neglected. And so when you're watching that 5 days a week, it's just a little boring.
One thing that is not being neglected on Days of Our Lives is the drama. And this week, JJ found out that Lonnie,
Lonnie's had a liar.
Yes, Mike. What did you think of how the courtroom and revelations played out?
Oh, it's always nice to see a dramatic soap opera courtroom scene. You know, the courtroom was packed. I like the DA. I hope they keep her around. Melinda, the whole progression of Gabby not telling Justin the truth led to him pushing Lonnie into this corner. And then JJ punching Eli was awesome. I'm sure that, you know, there are other people that would like to do the same thing. But I wasn't sure up to the exact moment that she did it, that Lonnie would actually confess that was Eli's kid and not JJ's. I thought when she was hedging there that she was actually going to lie to JJ and say it. And then, of course, as soon as she said it, the door opens and Gabby's standing there. And she had to hear that confession. So it was
It was good shit, man. Like, Jamie and I were talking about it. And he was like, when I saw it, I thought about my Rachel Corey and you. I'm like, why you thought about God. Me? I'm like, because at first I'm like, what you trying to say, bitch? I'm like, I ain't going to have no baby daddy drama like that. And he's like, no, I thought about you when Rachel was on that witness stand. And no, Mac was on the witness stand and Rachel was in court. And when Mac was like, tell them, Rachel, tell them. And Rachel didn't lie. I'm like, he was like, I thought about you because you would have been like, Lonnie lie. I said, that's exactly what I yelled. I'm like, oh, lie. You stick with your lie. I would have stood up on that. I would have sat on that witness stand. And I would have been like, yes, JJ is my child's father. How dare you? What type of woman do you take me for? Are you trying to say I would have flipped it on him? Yes, I would have. You couldn't tell me nothing. I would have lied. Yes, I would have lied like a bug. But Lainey a punk. Lainey crumbled. You saw. You your daddy's child. You saw.
I also loved when Valerie was just given her 2 cents to everything, and poor JJ was sitting there. He's like, why do you have such a problem with me? I don't know if it was this week or the end of last week, but I love Vanessa Williams. She is killing me as trying to protect Eli while Lonnie is sitting there. And JJ has no idea why she's being so mean about them getting married and everything. It was just funny.
Because, you know, she does not, because I still maintain when you were like, she should have cried when, no, she shouldn't have. What did you say?
I thought she should have had a little bit more anger with Eli about his mistake, his choices.
No, I felt as though, because I still maintain that because she, I liked her, you know, lash it out, but she should have been upset, rightly so, because she's looking at it and she's just like, damn, my son did not learn from my mistakes. Because of me, he missed out on growing up with the Horton side of his family. He missed out on being with his father. That's me. And she sees herself in Eli. He's going down the same path. He's willingly letting someone else raise his child, and he's going to miss out. And I don't want him to fall into that hole. I don't want him to do what I did. I hope that he would learn from my mistakes. I wish my mother would get off a sedity on me about that. If I was him, I'd have been like, you can't teach this lesson plan, sweetheart. You need to sit this one out.
Josh? You and I have had an ongoing discussion about JJ and Lonnie, yeah, and whether or not the revelation of it not being JJ's was going to be drug out. Knowing Ron and having watched Ron for a number of years, I figured it was going to just be, no matter what happened in court, she was going to continue to insist that the baby was JJ's. That didn't happen, so you were right, but what are you thinking of this storyline?
I love it. I love it. I'm actually really glad that the reveal came now. I think it's soapier, and I think it's surprising. It's you know, classic soap is that it would go on forever, but I love that JJ found out, and that it sort of unwound right there in the courtroom, and then right afterwards, and Gabby and Eli are there. I also love, there's a little bitty detail in court when Justin was about to get Lonnie to admit to everything. They showed Eli in the background and his head dropped into his hands. And I thought, that's just real. He was just, oh no. Oh hell, here it comes.
And we're missing a big component too. When Julie finds out, ooh.
Ooh. There won't be a set left on in Salem.
She better ask Vivian to bury her somewhere, because still, Julie's going to kill her. And I'm surprised you didn't mention the big news when your ass decided to go.
Listen, I went traveling and I get Allison Sweetie back. Woo!
Now, Luke said something on Twitter. I was like, oh, Jesus, he don't put that out there. Like, oh, Lord, no. When Luke was like, please do not let her come back with Rafe's baby. I'm like, Jesus, amen.
None of us want that to happen.
No, don't do it. I'm like, please. I'm like, Ron, you have one job. If you know, it's like your mission and you better accept it's not to have Sammy. I'm Rafe's baby. I'm not here for that.
I am not either. I will be thoroughly frustrated if she comes back with his baby.
Well, she has 11 kids.
She'll need
she has like 11 kids.
Yes.
She has 11 Josh, Sonny learned how to swipe left and right this last week and is exploring dating on apps with Mr. Man Bun and various other people. And Vivian's also giving him a hard time. What are you thinking of the Sonny Will Paul story?
I love all of it, but I'm particularly happy. I think it was Friday, maybe Thursday or Friday, that we found out that Vivian is catfishing Sonny, which is awesome. Sonny's up there messaging in a way to somebody. I want to go out on a date with you. And there's Vivian in the park, in drug dealer park, just chatting away with Sonny. And I was like, that's amazing.
Victor's going to kill her. Like, she needs to stop. Victor's going to kill her.
Mike, what are you thinking of?
In the sarcophagus.
Yes.
Mike, what are you thinking of Stefan and Gabigail?
I have very mixed feelings about the storyline with Abigail. I find sometimes if I'm not 100% watching, I'm not sure which altar is being portrayed, because now Gabby is faking Abigail. It makes my head spin, and I'm not sure And I guess this is part of being a soap watcher. I have no idea where this is going, and I don't know why it's happening. I can tell you that, like, of the alters, my favorite one is Dr. Laura. I just think that Dr. Laura is intelligent, well-spoken, and has no trouble telling Stefan exactly what she thinks of what he's doing and why she's doing what she's doing to protect her alters. I just and Stefan for me is I'm not going to write him off as a character that I don't like. I just don't know if they have figured out what his purpose is yet. I'm seeing a lot of characters on the show that just are not getting outside of their own element sometimes. Like, I feel like Abigail's story could be better if she was manipulating other things around her, but it's just in the house. She goes behind the wardrobe and then comes back out as somebody else. And I just think that I just don't understand why it's happening. And I think Stefan's character is idled. I feel like Chad, they don't know what to do with Chad. He's just kind of bumbling around as well. So I just, I'm watching it because I want to see where it goes. And I trust Ron has allowed me to trust the direction that he's taking it. And I'm just a little confused right now.
Well, I That's know when someone... Samantha Jean comes, Stefan gonna be, if they still have Gabigail going on, Stefan will probably use Gabigail against Samantha Jean. Because Samantha Jean gonna bust up in there and be like, who is this bug talking about he is Stefano's long lost child and all. Sammy gonna give him the business. A part of me wishes that, I do wish that somehow Ron, Greg, and Ken, I don't know, they give her some nighttime hope pills and so are able to convince Sweeney when she's, when she drowsy, sign this. What are you making me sign? I feel so sleepy. Sign this. When she come away, it's all notarized and shit and she's locked into a damn contract, because I feel as though her versus Sweeney versus Tyler Christopher, that's the money shot right there. That would be the business.
With a side helping of Hope Anger. Jillian, what are you thinking of your girl, Sam? She told Drew that she loves Jason.
That's right. She said, as the heart wants what the heart wants, Drew. I'm sorry. Now we got a ball game. They just need to do something. Because, the triangle started off like, oh, shit. And then it just...
died.
It just crashed.
Roadkill.
Into something flat. It just fell flat. And I was like, I really don't care who Sam's with right now. I'm like, I don't care who Jason's with. I don't care who Drew's with, because it was just boring. Then it got back hot. And, I'm just like, I'm too old to be limboing. I'm too old to be limboing. I'm like, shit, I have bad backs now. GH, I don't know what is going on there. I enjoyed Sam telling Drew that. Now they need to make it drama filled. Now we need the heat. We need for Drew to be like sitting somewhere and he's like, ain't no way Jason taking my woman from me. And he's stepping up. And Jason being, I understand, we all know that Jason is always like, I'm going to let the woman decide. I'm going to let them decide. We need to have Jason also be like, Sam admitted that she loved me. Like, I need to make my move. You know what I'm saying? We need a triangle, damn it. Like, her telling them, now what? We need the men. She's done her part. She told both men that she still love them. We need the men to step up. I'm like, damn. Kelly Monaco is like, do I need to do everything? Like, I mean, it's not an acting thing, but we need the men characters to do something too. Like, they need to step their game up. I feel as though with Billy, with Drew, I feel as though the way Billy's playing it, we will have Drew like, I'm not finna have him come for mine. I ain't finna have that.
I know that J-Sam fans are really happy with this, but is this fresh. Really?
Say something fresh.
Yeah,
say something fresh.
I just don't see the heat between them.
Say something fresh on this podcast, I could get you yanked.
I need to see the heat. Jason, since he's been back, has not been well utilized. Although this week, I like General Hospital. I thought what I saw at General Hospital was really good. I liked what was happening with Kiki. I thought
that was...
What?
What you like? Now, Josh is on.
No, I think it's good that they're doing a sexual, potential sexual harassment story. I like
Josh. Josh, he be smoking when he be watching these shows. Because I be like, what the hell is Mike watching sometimes? But he'll be like, oh, it's great. You're like, what the hell? Oh, I didn't think it was like that. I felt it was like this. And you're like, what is Mike watching? So, Josh, you can tell us.
He just reads between the lines. He's not smoking anything, at least. But he reads between the lines.
He doesn't smoke anything. He just has edibles.
Edibles is always possible. I'm not saying that.
Ooh, damn. Do it. Carry on.
Can I ask a question really fast? I wanted to ask Jillian a question. We were watching the Drew and Franco swim through that nasty sewage stuff.
Sewer.
And yeah, and then when Sam and Liz are trying to get to them, in my head, if this was like Guzzo's General Hospital, Jason would have been, even though Jason doesn't want to be involved or whatever, they would have called Jason. Jason would have been action. He would have hated that he was having to save Franco or whatever. But if he knew that his two women were in peril and they needed him, Jason would have busted down concrete and gotten in there and helped out.
Yeah.
I just thought something was missing.
I'm going to be real with you. If this was Bob Guza's GH, and again, I'm going to let them do their thing, whatever. But if this was Bob Guza's GH, I feel as though Jason would have told them, no, I ain't fitting to help Franco. Y'all keep your asses away from them dudes. Okay. I think Jason would have told them no. And then at the last minute, as a cliffhanger, you would have seen Jason busting through like, I got to help him. Like, you know. And they'd be like, Jason, and he'd be like, I'm going to help y'all, you know, I'm helping y'all. He would stress, I'm helping y'all, I'm not helping them. Like, Jason would have stressed it. Like, Franco would have been like, thank you, Jason. And Jason would have been like, I didn't do this for you. Don't thank me. You thank them hoes. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Mike, I want to circle back to something that you touched on. What were your thoughts on Kiki again?
Oh, I like that they're doing a potential sexual harassment storyline.
Yeah,
I mean, this guy, David, has been kind of guiding her through, got her into the med school, got her this book, got her this stuff, and now she's hesitant to be around him. She's kind of unsure about his intentions, and I just think it's timely to tell a story like this. And
about
and there are people
time.
That don't care about Kiki, and I understand that, but I think that I just think that it's a good story, and God help that David Bench, because when Ava finds out her baby's been trifled with,
all the good intentions that Ava's been having are going to go out the window.
Exactly.
I think
you're going to tell that priest, turn around. I need to take care of something. You didn't hear or see anything.
I feel as though the town will be like, well, I think, you know, every once in a while they'll let you get away with some shit. I feel as though the town will be like, eh, it's Kiki. We'll let Ava have this. But, you know, I mean, it's about time GH does. It's about time someone does a timely storyline with the Me Too movement and Time's Up. I was waiting for someone to do it. And I was like, ain't none of them doing it. None of them. Nobody. Nobody was really doing it. So I'm kind of glad they're doing it. And, you know, they just wasted James DePaiva. He was just swing low, swing chariot, because I thought him and Alexis would have gotten together. Then she hunching Finn, and I'm like, what is this? When GH zigs, they zag, and they confuse me to no end. They frustrate me. They're one of the shows that frustrates me. It ain't nothing but
General Hospital is very frustrating.
It's very frustrating. I thought for sure they would have had Dr. Bench and Julian like a triangle there. I mean, it looked a little, you know, granola-esque, but we don't know anything about this Dr. Bench guy. For all he know, you know, for all we know, he could have been like a, what is his name? His name escapes me.
Kevorkian?
No. David, what is, your boy, who you like from All My Children? What's his name? David
Hayward.
he could have been a David Hayward-esque type character, but they just squandered and wasted James DePaiva. And people, I'm like, people be sleeping on James DePaiva. I'm like, James DePaiva is a good actor, and they wasted him.
I do think he could be like a serial abuser, but you know what I mean. He does this all the time. Like, you know, sometimes are positions and they just move him through to the next hospital, and maybe they'll find out he did this other places. Or Griffin saw the book, so he knows the value of the book. So there's things that are happening. I think they're doing well with it so far. And I actually, like I said earlier, I thought General Hospital was good. I actually enjoyed watching it this week. It's been a while since I said that, but.
The man with the edible.
See, I had a hard time with it this last week, and so now that Josh has explained you have edibles, that sort of makes more sense.
Oh, no, now.
Final thoughts as we're wrapping this up. Josh, how about you first?
One final thought is from the Emmys that I thought Judy Evans was missing from that list.
In which category? Lead or supporting?
I think she was pre-nominated in supporting, though she should have been lead, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But I think that Bonnie and Adrian were front and center for the first 3 or 4 months of Ron's reign. And I really felt like she's missing from that list.
You know, I thought it was a situation because she was a recurring that they wouldn't have put her on there. But isn't Wally Kirk on there and he's a recurring?
Wally Kirk is on for General Hospital, but he's not on. I think he's recurring on General Hospital, right?
Isn't he recurring on both shows?
Yeah, I think so.
At that time, wasn't he recurring on both shows? So it was. I had to look it up because I'm like, wait a minute, why is he on here? No shade to him, but I'm like, why is he on here? But she isn't because she tore that shit up. She was good.
And Jillian, final thought.
Deidre was good too. My final thought is we need to pick up the pace with this Who Shot Bill. Like, I don't even care at this point who shot Bill. They could tell me it was Stephanie. She came back from the dead and she was like, father and my namesake, and I went back to my crypt shooting your ass. And I wouldn't care. I don't care. I see previews, Ingo Rademacher. I'm like, oh, they let you out of hibernation, girl. Because he was brought on there, and he messed around with Brooke. He, you know, was pushing up on Katie, and then he disappeared. That was a waste. Like, I need B&B to pick up the base. I need them to make it good. It was good starting out, and I don't know what happened. They always do this to me, and they got me in these streets looking crazy because I be defending y'all, but I be looking crazy in these streets.
Mike, final thought?
Yeah, a quick one. To Days of Our Lives, it's not your job to get the Lax viewers up to speed. You can slow down on the flashbacks, which are huge scenes of replays that I don't need to see because I already watched it. And number two, NBC, give me an option to buy out of commercials on your app. Thank you very much.
Oh, someone's a little bit testy.
No,
testy.
I mean, I've got pay for CBS All Access, pay for Hulu, no commercials. It'll be worth your money if you give me that option.
True that.
Okay. My final thought is
final thought. Get it?
Yes. I need General Hospital to be more compelling. I don't like the story that Anna is in. I'm not interested in Franco and Elizabeth. Drew, Sam, Jason are not something that is going to make me tune in. Ironically, one of the few things that was sort of, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, was actually interesting was Nell this last week. And I'm not a fan of that character, but of everything
that
was going
on. You want to call her Cactus?
of everything that was going on General Hospital, the Nell and Ava scenes, and then the Nell being territorial when Michael was meeting up with that other girl.
That's old school bad girl.
It is, but I'm like, boy, when General Hospital, the most interesting thing on General Hospital is Nell, in terms of a story, then you've got some problems.
Luke, cool. You know, that's always been the attraction for me. If you have a good bad girl on there, you're going to get me hooked. And I think they're going the right direction with this girl.
I think it's cool. You know, I will give GH this. See, I can give something positive to y'all. I will give GH this. Them having Ava, Ava kind of take Nell under her wing, under her tutelage, is classic.
Yep, tell it.
Like, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, is what they're saying.
And then Ava telling her, it's like, I don't want to know.
You know, Ava wants to do plausible deniability, and Ava is trying to, like, what Ava is doing is smart soap, too. She's not overly trying to manipulate this girl or overly give her opinion and be like, no, bitch, this is how you get Carly back and this is how you get Beth. She is just laying the seeds for her, letting Mel figure it all out, and she's putting in her two cents as far as she can go. Like, she's telling her certain things so that she can, you know, so when it comes back, when the dust settles, she can be like, look, I didn't do nothing to that bitch. She really has plausible deniability. I like that Ava has her under her wing, and she is slowly making, you know, crafting her. And if they play it right, GH, please do. If they play it right, Nell can be an interesting character, and this could be a great storyline where Carly and Sonny done pissed off the wrong motherfuckers, which would be Ava and Nell, and the two of those two, along with Monica on the Lolo, teaming up, and they take those two down. So if they keep it going that way, I think they can have a good ball game with that. I'm sorry, but y'all know I love me my Sonny. I don't give a damn about Carly. I don't care who plays her. Sarah Brown was my Carly, but the way they have Sonny and Carly just acting holier than thou and them not getting any repercussions needs to stop. So I hope that Ava, with Monica's help too, are able to get, like, Carly and Sonny get their comeuppance, especially that damn Carly.
On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DCConfidential. You can find Mike on Twitter at MPJ24. Jillian is at Jillian Bo.
No, I'm at
Jillian is at Jillian Bo. I'm at Luke_Kerr. And Josh, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at DrJoshua09.
We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Bye.
We found out he might be eaten when he watched them stories.